for the Fantasy Finessery Podcast. I'm Eddie Wasserman. Thank you guys for joining us for our championship episode. I'm joined here, as always, by Colin Kapoor. Colin, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Maddie. Made the championship in three leagues. We're riding high after this week 16. A lot of points scored. Much better than week 15, that is for sure. But I'm excited to come in here, talk some fantasy football, maybe win some people some championships.
Yeah, for sure. So last week we came on here and there was a lot of negativity to talk about. We, of course, always open with our winners and losers segment, and there were a lot more losers than winners. But this week, a lot of that flipped and there were a lot of great performances. We were, of course, doing, for those of you who listen, thank you, doing our color cast of Sunday Night Football, which was a drubbing by the Cowboys last week. And we saw a dominant display there, and all across the league, there was a lot of great offensive outputs from the Bengals and other teams. So I think we want to start with a lot of the winners and best performances of this week going forward. And I think the Cincinnati Bengals, I mentioned it, that's where we got to start. Joe Burrow, one of the best performance of his NFL career so far, and he carried the entire team. T. Higgins, the whole thing, a sweeping performance from them, carried a lot of teams to the championship.
Joe Burrow had the fourth most passing yards in a single game ever, and that's with 525, four touchdowns, put up 46.1 fantasy points. And I mean, it was a badly outmanned Baltimore defense. They lost, I think, their entire secondary. Two of their top corners, Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters, were out earlier in the season with season-ending injuries. And then their backup corners were on the COVID list. So it was a smash spot for the entire Cincinnati offense. They did not disappoint. Joe Mixon had 135 total yards, two touchdowns, 31.5 PPR points. T. Higgins won people their fantasy leagues with 43.4 points, 12 catches for 194 yards and two touchdowns. And then also Jamar Chase put up 19.5 points, Tyler Boyd 17.5. And so this was a game, a divisional game that you thought was going to be a shootout, and it definitely didn't disappoint on that end. It wasn't like that that Cowboys Chiefs game earlier in the season where it became more of a defensive battle. No. It was like, what, 42-21 or something like that. It was definitely a shootout. And Joe Burrow did not take his foot off of the gas pedal. And I think some of that had to do with the defensive coordinator's remarks about the Ravens defensive coordinator's remarks about him before the game, where he said something to the tune of he's not, you know, ready to – the defensive coordinator wasn't ready to say he was a good quarterback, something like that.
Yeah, Joe Burrow took that one personally. Yeah. But I think what was most notable for Burrow was, of course, I mean, you just look at the pass attempts and the completions. He had 37 completions in week 16. He had just 15 against Denver in week 15. And that's where we see all the receptions that come in. That's 12 receptions you mentioned for Higgins. Jamar Chase has 7 receptions. Even Joe Mixon had 6 receptions out of the backfield. So it was really an entire team performance, and they were great. You mentioned some of that running the score up at the end. They were certainly unapologetic about that, but I think they carried in. You go into the championship obviously feeling confident. We kind of talked about in last week's episode, Joe Mixon as this loser, where you were lucky if you just survived with Joe Mixon coming into this week. If you were able to make it through the first round of the playoffs with a dud by Joe Mixon, he comes out big this week. But the one player in the Bengals that had a good week, but I'm wondering if it's a bit of a charade, is Tyler Boyd. Because Boyd's put together a couple good weeks, but now he's had two straight weeks where he's had these bomb plays down the field. He had one huge touchdown pass in this week's game. So it looks on the surface, you look at it right now, he had 20 points against Denver in week 15, 17 points against Baltimore this week. That's now four straight games with double digits for Tyler Boyd, who seems like the third option in this offense. That being said, with three receptions here on five targets this week, do you feel comfortable starting Boyd next week, even with the production he's had?
Yeah, this is going to be a really good game between Cincinnati and Kansas City. But Kansas City's defense has actually stepped it up in the last couple of weeks, especially they should be getting interior tackle Chris Jones back. And Tyler Boyd, I mean, he's been playing, he's on the field all the time, but the targets aren't really there. And like you said, it is those big plays. And Tyler Boyd's profile is not big plays. His profile is getting a lot of targets, getting a lot of receptions, and having that PPR floor. So I wouldn't count on another big play, even though he's done it two straight weeks. And I think you just look in his previous games for what you should expect from Tyler Boyd, which is, you know, a ceiling of probably about 15 points, and then a floor of probably about I don't know, maybe like 6 or 7 points if he's just not getting the targets to sustain a high floor. And he is, I mean, he's probably the fourth passing option in this offense now. Joe Mixon garnered six targets. And had 70 yards and a touchdown off of those six targets. So I think in a Kansas City game, you know, maybe the defense just loses track of Boyd because they're trying to cover Mixon and Higgins and Chase. That's kind of what you would hope for, but it's definitely not something you should expect from Tyler Boyd, not something you should start him. You don't want to have the expectation of him breaking a big play when you start him. You have to manage your expectations when you start a guy like Tyler Boyd. And if you're going to start him, you know, you should start him with the thinking of he's probably going to give me around 10 points or something like that. And then make your decision based on that instead of deciding based on the last 2 weeks.
Well, here's the obscurity of Boyd's profile in that you think of him as this like slot receiver. You mentioned before, we don't think of him as some like deep threat guy. He's supposed to be the check down option that gets you, you know, a few catches here and there. But since week 13, he's third in the NFL in vertical points per game. As I mentioned, he's been relying on those big plays. That's not something that you would expect to continue. The Chiefs he's playing ranked fourth in vertical points per game allowed over that time span. They gave up just 2.2. Vertical points to Pittsburgh. So really not a lot of production they just gave up to. I mean, that's also due to Big Ben not throwing the ball down the field much. But I think in general, I would stay away from Boyd. It's tempting because it feels like found money, especially in this championship game. Maybe he's been riding your bench all season and pick him up on the waiver wire or something like that. But generally, I think even though the production's been seemingly rising for someone like Boyd, I still probably lean away from starting him.
Yeah, and also in this game, you would think the game plan for the Bengals going into it is to run the ball, keep possession, and just take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands as much as possible. So you don't want to get into a shootout with the Chiefs because, you know, when Patrick Mahomes gets to a shootout, you know, he often wins. And you want to rely more on the running game. I think that's probably what the Bengals are going to try to do. If it's successful, I couldn't tell you if it will be successful, but I think, you know, being the third wide receiver option on a team in a game where the offense is probably going to try to funnel their way through the run game isn't the best combination. And also for a guy who has broken two big plays on broken plays isn't the best option to be starting in your championship matchup.
I think that's probably right. So I want to shift now to a couple more winners of this week. And I want to sort of harp on guys that are not necessarily as obvious winners where you're not sure if you're starting them, but they had big performances this week. Rashad Penny being someone that we have not mentioned on the show all season. Of course, someone that was drafted in the first round many years ago by Seattle and has kind of struggled throughout the first 4 years of his career. But all of a sudden, over the past few weeks, he's kind of gone into this lead role over the past 4 weeks, really, in the Seattle offense. And this week, he has 17 carries, 135 yards, got a rushing touchdown in the snow against Chicago, 19 fantasy points. He didn't get any receptions, though. So I wonder, do you feel against Detroit, which seemingly is an advantageous matchup in week 17, someone like Rashad Penny, obviously a big winner this week, but do you feel comfortable potentially starting him in a kind of a flex spot next week? Because I say, you know, I would roll the dice, I think so, after this performance.
Yeah, I think you look at his past 3 weeks when he was kind of thrust into that lead back role, the games where he had a lot of carries and then also, you know, had very good efficiency and good fantasy weeks were where the Seahawks weren't far behind. And this was a competitive game against Chicago. They were able to run the ball and Penny can run well. The talent has never been in question. It's been the health usually. So I think he's going to have viability, even not necessarily as a flex, even as an RB2. I think if Seattle falls behind by multiple scores, then, you know, there's an issue because he's not targeted in the passing game. But, you know, as inept as this Seattle offense has looked in the past, I don't think they're going to fall behind by multiple scores to the Lions. So I think he's definitely in play. I think you can start him with reasonable confidence as a middle to low end RB2. I mean, you watch this game, he ran RB2, very well.
Really? You're that high. I mean, he did just get 6.9 points last week is my point.
Like, yeah, that was against the Rams. The Rams have an incredible rushing defense, and the Seahawks are nowhere near the Rams in terms of total offensive capabilities. So I think in this matchup against the Lions, I think you can start Penny with confidence. I really think so. And I mean, like I said, the talent has never been in question. He's healthy. He's efficient. I mean, in two of his past three games, he's gotten more than 16 carries and more and around 8 yards per carry, which is just really, really good. And, you know, Russell Wilson hasn't been great. He flashed a couple times. He had that deep throw to Metcalf and the touchdown to Gerald Everett. But other than that, I mean, Wilson looked pretty lost out there. So You know, leading on Rashad Penny probably won't be the worst idea for the Seahawks in a matchup against the Lions.
Okay, I can get on board with that. I mean, I think that you can probably start him with a little bit of hesitancy, but I'm good with starting him. So some more winners this week with a little bit of contingencies. Now, Mark Andrews seemingly at this point hasn't stated himself as a guy that you're starting on a weekly basis, of course, is the tight end position. There's nobody else. He's been awesome. But aside from him, Hollywood Brown puts up a single-digit performance this week, and that's now six straight performances that he's put up 14 points or less. So my question is, Mark Andrews has clearly shown over a long stretch of time that he's the predominant tight end over the course of the season, and no matter who's starting, whether it's Huntley, Josh Johnson, Lamar, hopefully he'll be back next week, whoever it is, Mark Andrews continuously is a winner, continuously is producing. But aside from him, do you even feel comfortable starting Hollywood Brown this week? I mean, Rashad Bateman, definitely, I don't think you're starting him, but Hollywood Brown, I don't think you can start him this week.
Yeah, I mean, if Lamar's back, I think you start him. I think that it definitely hinges on the quarterback. Even if Huntley is back, I probably wouldn't with Huntley in Huntley's best game against the Packers. Marquise Brown did have 14.3 points with 10 catches for only 43 yards, so the efficiency hasn't been there for a while. It's been since week 9 since he's averaged more than 10 yards a target. So, you know, it's been pretty bad. And he hasn't scored a touchdown since week 7 before his bye week. So yeah, the drop off in fantasy points obviously corresponds to the lack of touchdowns and also the lack of efficiency. I mean, he had 6 for 37 in week 10, 8 for 51 week 12, 10 for 43 in week 15, and then 5 for 44 this past week. So I think it has to do with the quarterback. Even with Lamar in those early matchups, he wasn't doing great after his bye week. But I think Lamar has an inclination to throw the ball deep, more so than Huntley, definitely, and definitely more than Josh Johnson. So I think if Lamar comes back, you're starting Marquise Brown. It is against the Rams. It's a tough matchup, but they're not. I don't think the Ravens are going to try to run on the Rams that much because their backfield isn't. I mean, running back wise, they're probably not going to run on the Rams that much. If Lamar's back, I think you can start Marquise Brown, but I mean, it's been a fall down. He was up at I was surprised to see.
You look at his average depth of target, his average yards per catch. It's really low. His average yards per catch have been in the single digits, 5 of the last 6 games. So it's really low. I mean, for a guy that you expect, again, there are certain players where you look at the metric and that's fine. But for a guy that you expect to get those chunk plays down the field, that's kind of what he's branded as. And earlier in the season, by the way, right, I say 5 of the last 6 games, he's been the single digits in his average yards per catch. Well, over the first, you know, the first 5 weeks of the season, those were all in the double digits, some of them even high double digits, like 17, 18, 20 a game. So it's way, way lower. And yes, some of that's due to the quarterback play, that you're not going to throw the ball deep as much with Josh Johnson, of course, as you would presumably with Lamar. But even so, just the way they're kind of utilizing the offense makes that upside with him, I think, a lot lower.
I mean, with a rookie quarterback in Josh Johnson isn't a rookie, but with a backup quarterback like Johnson or Huntley. Huntley, yeah, it would make sense to feature the tight end in those shallower routes, not trying to burn him over the top, just move the sticks and, you know, in the red zone, look for the big target like Andrews. So that makes sense. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. And it does make sense that a deep threat wide receiver like Marquise Brown would fall off a little bit with not the starting quarterback going with, you know, a game manager type. And I don't want to say Huntley is a game manager because he looked, you know, really dynamic in his start against Green Bay. But you know, that rookie type or the backup type. So I think if Lamar comes back, you're putting Marquise Brown in your lineup. If not, it's a tougher sell for me. He has been getting you a PPR floor of about 9 points, which is fine for a flex play, but it's not what you want from Marquise Brown, who was a top 10 wide receiver at one point in the season. So I think if Lamar's back, you can put him in. If not, you have to, like I said, with the last person we talked about, with Tyler Boyd, I think you manage your expectations a little bit.
I think that's true. Cause like, and this is going to be a theme with a bunch of the people we're talking about in the next few minutes. There's a bunch of people that you say, oh, like Hollywood Brown, of course you're starting him, but you're really, then you look deeper at the stats and you're like, are you though? And the next guy that we're going to be talking about with that, and now this might be a little preposterous, Alvin Kamara. And, you know, now it looks like, of course, the situation with the quarterbacks and the offense has been a disaster. Ian Buck was a nightmare. The offense has been pretty miserable. It looks like they finally might be getting Taysom Hill back next week. But with Kamara, I mean, this is now two straight really, really awful performances. He had 13 carries, 52 yards, just the two receptions. Again, the whole entire offensive output was absolutely abhorrent last night. A miserable game for them. But do you bench Kamara? Because it feels like at this point that's like sacrilege. And to be honest, I'm not sure how many Kamara owners have even made it to this point with two straight double single-digit performances over the first two rounds of the fantasy playoffs. But let's just say hypothetically that you did make it to this point with Kamara. Somehow you the rest of your teams just carried him with his disappointing back-to-back weeks. Are you starting him this week? Because, again, you feel like you have to, but do you have to?
I think, like Ian Book was horrible in this game.
Horrible, yeah.
It was his first start of his career. He was facing a tough defense. But Sean Payton did him no favors. Sean Payton did his entire offense no favors. The play calling in this game was, I unfortunately watched the entire game because I did have a couple fantasy matchups dependent on the production of a couple Dolphins. It worked out. Devontae Parker put up a gooser, so that was good for me. But, you know, this play calling, it has to get better. I don't understand how it can't get better. Like going into the second half, Sean Payton was interviewed. He was like, yeah, we got to get Kamara on the field. In the first drive, he was benched for an entire drive. Kamara was.
I know.
Like
right?
Montgomery and Ingram were on the field.
We're not talking
like,
about the same Kamara that you drafted or even the same Kamara that was putting up crazy performances earlier in the season. Like, this is not the Kamara that we're used to in terms of his usage and stuff like that. Even the Jets, he had 27 carries against the Jets just two or three weeks ago, but just didn't look like that over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, this season, he's hit his highest carry total three times. He had 24 carries, which was his highest of his career, I believe, then 26 beat that, and then 27 a couple weeks ago beat that as well. I might be wrong about the 24, but I believe he did hit his highest carry total of his entire career this season. And then we just, the last 2 weeks, 11 carries for 18 yards, 13 carries, 52 yards. He is, like, there's no doubt he's the best player on the field at all times, or at least on the offense at all times, and he's just not getting the ball. It makes no sense. I have to believe that Sean Payton or someone in the Saints organization knows that Alvin Kamara is the best player on this team. They have to get him touches or else they are going to lose. And that has happened. I mean, they did beat Tampa, but that was just, there isn't really much to say about that game, but
yeah, that game was, Miami, I mean, game, that was not a fantasy. That game didn't really have much fantasy impact.
Yeah. In week 17 against Carolina, it just depends. Like you don't want to sit Kamara in your fantasy championship and then he goes off. And that's just something that I don't think a lot of fantasy managers, if they made it this far into the fantasy championship, I don't think they're going to sit Kamara regardless of what they hear. I just don't think that's going to happen, but I have to believe that Sean Payton or whoever in the Saints organization can figure this one out, because it's not that hard. You give your best player the ball and you let him, you know, carry your offense. You don't have Ian Book run play action on every down and throw it to the other team for a pick six. Like it's not that difficult. And so if Taysom Hill comes back, the efficiency of this offense should improve. They'll find their way into the red zone somehow, you know, you would think. And I think Alvin Kamara will be better. So you just have to have faith. Even though it hasn't looked good the past 2 weeks.
I agree. And I think, you know, guarding against yourself, because again, if Kamara goes off, I think it is the receiving work, right? Because it's like the peak Kamara level was always when he was getting this crazy receiving production. He had one game, I think, earlier in the season where he had 10 receptions. But aside from that, his five receptions has been his cap on the entire season. And that's just not the Kamara.
And there's no reason to not throw him the ball. Like, it's not like he has stone hands. He's not going to catch it. You throw him the ball, he's going to catch it.
That's always been the thing with him, right? That's why it doesn't make sense.
Like the Saints had so many options to dial up screens. And, you know, to Sean Payton's credit, they did dial up the screen. Ian Book just didn't throw it. Like, that's an issue with the quarterback. I feel like Sean Payton could have created a playbook that he knew.
I mean, Sean Payton was playing with like two hands tied behind his back with Ian Book as the quarterback.
That is true. But play calling shouldn't be an issue when you for the best player on the field. It just shouldn't. You find a way to get your best player the ball. That's just football 101. I would think, at least. I'm not an NFL coach, but that would make sense, right? So I don't know. I think, you know, with Taysom Hill, if he comes back, he was on the COVID-19 list. He hasn't been activated yet. because it was a Monday night game. So I think if Taysom Hill comes back, the efficiency of this offense will be improved, and you could feel comfortable starting Kamara.
All right, I'm on board with that. So the next one who I want to talk about as a big winner this week was Antonio Brown. We talked about AB as the key waiver wire possession, a check if dropped kind of guy last week. And then all of a sudden, AB comes back this week. 15 targets. Craziness. Now, of course, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Leonard Fournette, the whole thing, they're all out. Who else was Brady going to throw to? It was all came down to AB, who gets 15 targets, and he ended up the week with 10 receptions. But it looks like Mike Evans could potentially be returning this week. As this Tuesday at 4:30, we don't exactly know. But he could be. So my question is, of AB, certainly if Mike Evans is out this week, and therefore he's the unquestioned number one guy, you, of course, you're starting AB. But let's say Mike Evans potentially could make a return this week, and he's are you willing to potentially start him? Now he's on the COVID list, but he still could potentially come back. So if AB's out, first of all, what do you think about the game? This was a horribly first question. What do you think about the game that AB had? And then if Mike Evans potentially can make a return, do you still feel comfortable starting him?
I think, there's not much else to say about AB's game other than 15 targets, 20 fantasy points, obviously the focal point of this offense. And the running game, cashed in on those touchdowns, Cameron Braid as well. Keyshawn Vaughn had that long touchdown run, and then Rojo, I think, scored from in close. But Antonio Brown, if Mike Evans does come back, he's dealing with a hamstring, and he was also placed on the COVID list. So there's a couple obstacles for Mike Evans to return. Yeah. Also, another thing to note is that they are playing the Jets in week 17. The Jets do not have a good rushing defense. It is very, very conceivable that the Bucs come in and run all over the Jets. And Antonio Brown doesn't get the 15 targets, but he is the chain mover of this offense. I think at this point with Godwin out, AB has stepped into that role as, the short to medium route guy, getting those targets across the middle. And then Brady looks for him. 15 targets is all you need to hear. So I think even if Evans does come back, AB's role as I think Chris Godwin was the obstacle to AB more so than Evans, because AB, he has the Chris Godwin role at this point, I would say. The more the interior guy as opposed to Evans, who's the outside guy. So I think if Evans comes back.
No, that's a good point, actually, about their roles in the offense.
Yeah, so I think if it was Godwin who was coming back, maybe you would be a little more apprehensive. But I think with Evans as the deep threat outside guy, Antonio Brown's going to keep getting his targets. The only thing I would worry about is the matchup is a little too soft on the running side. And, they could run all over. But also with Fournette out, they might just, keep throwing the ball. So I am more than happy to start Antonio Brown this week.
I think you still have to start Brown, but the expectations need to be tempered a lot more. If he's this week, 15 targets, that's insanity for a guy that hadn't played in so long. Just he comes back, he's just thrown right into the thick of it. But the talent is, it's still there. And that's the thing. That's why everyone will continue to take chances on this guy until the end, until he's not productive anymore. Because you watch him come into the field, he hadn't played so long, you just throw him into the fire, 15 targets. And he's there for it because he's just that talented of a player, and it shines through. Consistently staying on with them for 1 second, Ronald Jones. So I started Jones this week in my failed fantasy efforts in the semifinals, 16 points. It was a good production for him. Of course, Keyshawn Vaughn stole that one huge play down the field, that one massive rush that went for a touchdown. If Jones has that, then it's a massive day. But even still, 20 carries for 65 yards, he puts in a touchdown. I was happy to see that. Maybe you would have wanted a little bit more receiving work for him. 2 receptions, a little bit disappointing after we've been talking all season about how involved Fournette was in the passing game. You hope some of that could have been passed over to Jones more so. But even that being said, I think a productive day for him and Fournette being out again. Jones is another RB2, I would say, again this week.
Yeah, I talked about this perhaps with Jones. At the time, we didn't know if Fournette was going to be out for the amount that he is. He's on IR now, so he's out for the remainder, at least of the fantasy season. So I advise, Carolina is a tough matchup, and they limited Jones to 3.25 yards carry. But if he can get back against the Jets, could be potential championship winning, So I think Jones, you're starting him with confidence. And, the targets is interesting. He had 2 catches for 16 yards that on that third target, it was a drop, and he struggled with holding onto the ball in his career. This is third year. So I think Jones, you're perfectly comfortable starting him. I'm happy with the game, especially with the workload. And now 20 carries against a hapless Jets defense is a recipe for success. And with Keyshawn Vaughn, he was on the field for 36% of the snaps. He only had one target. You would think that he would come in on more of a third down role. It was basically a blowout for the Tampa Bay, and I think the Jets game is also going to be a blowout for Tampa Bay. So I don't think Vaughn's going to get the target volume that his profile was as a receiving back coming into the season.
Right. You mentioned like Tom Brady only had 18 pass attempts in this game. So there wasn't even that much to go. 18 pass attempts and 15 of them.
15.
I think it's 30 pass attempts, but 18 completions. So sorry, I kind of bungled that, but I mean,
a lot. So 10
of the 18 went to AB.
So I think you, when it comes to waivers, like picking up Keyshawn Vaughn, this is the last week. If you have money, you know, spend it, right?
Yes. Yeah, we'll get to waivers. So, he could be someone.
He could be someone. I mean, breaking that huge 55-yard touchdown run. Bruce Arians said he was impressed with what happened. I mean, who wouldn't be? He thinks. He thinks Vaughn is a lead dog and not just a third down back. So you know, maybe they lean on him more in a matchup against the Jets. And I think it's worth picking him up just because of that matchup. I mean, we saw the Jets last game against the Dolphins when Duke Johnson rumbled for 120 yards and two touchdowns. So anyone can capitalize on this defense. So I think Ronald Jones is a great RB2 play. And I think maybe Vaughn in the flex, you know, wouldn't be the worst idea with Bruce Arians praising him.
Really? You think he could play in the flex? I don't know. That's a risky play because just because that feels
it's absolutely is a risky play. Yeah. Good. But I don't know. I mean, capitalizing on the matchup is definitely something the Jets' rushing defense is just non-existent. So it's a risky play for sure. Keyshawn Vaughn flashed that big playability in the Carolina matchup. So, you know, you probably have better options, but, you know, COVID is ravaging through the league. So if you need to, you know, have a backup, I think Keyshawn Vaughn is a fine flex play, you know, but it is a risky one for sure.
All right, so I think we hit some winners and losers there. So now let's get to our weekly segment here of the running back committees that have been in flux. And the one I want to talk about is one that actually had no winners. Everyone was a loser, and that is the Denver Broncos. And what was an ugly game against the Las Vegas Raiders, they lost 17-13. And this was a depressing game for Melvin Gordon, who at one time seemed to really be a valuable fantasy asset when we even said, I think even a week ago, that you could feel comfortable starting both him and Williams. Well, Melvin Gordon, I got news for you, had -4 rushing yards on 7 carries this week. A horrendous performance. He had one fantasy point, and I unfortunately started him in my semifinal lineup. So hooray for me. Javonte Williams, on the other hand, 10 points, and even he only had 7 carries for 12 yards. He got a touchdown, which kind of salvaged it. If it wasn't for that touchdown, we're talking about 4 points for him. So even that was horribly inefficient. Can you start either of these people comfortably in weeks 17 here?
Yeah, there's narratives in play for both of these backs to bounce back. Right. For Melvin Gordon, it's the revenge game.
What is right? the okay? But there's not an.
So it's the Chargers.
That's a fake narrative, though. Like
I like that narrative, actually. But
okay, like it's funny, but like you can't start him. He had -4 rushing yards.
Between these two backs, you're starting Javonte Williams if you have to start one of them. Funny story about Melvin Gordon. One of my opponents in one of my leagues had Gordon in his lineup, and at the last second, removed him for Justin Jackson. Wow. That worked out great.
Yes,
well, Justin Jackson, another winner, putting up. I did still get the win, thankfully, because of I don't know. I scored more points than he did, probably. Justin Jackson, another winner, putting up 33 fantasy points in his Austin Eckler, place spot start. But of these two, Gordon Williams, Javonte Williams is the better runner, I think, at this point, and the end zone score salvaged a red zone score salvaged his fantasy day. And Chargers are giving the 5th most points to running backs as a defense. So I think
I was going to say, cause like you can, I mean, I like the Melvin Gordon revenge tour, but the actual more relevant impact would be that Rex Burkhead just ran all over the Chargers defense.
Absolutely, yeah.
The Chargers defense looked so bad against the Texans that it does feel like this running game, who was so bad this week, where there was 14 carries split between Gordon and Javonte Williams for a combined 11 rushing yards on 14 carries, it does feel like there is more upside just because of how bad the Chargers looked this last week. Now, could there be a reaction to that where they suddenly come out guns blazing? Maybe, but it does feel like that is an advantageous matchup.
Yeah, and I think you talked about how this was an ugly game. The Broncos offense, it was helmed by Drew Lock. I think he's going to be getting the start against LA because of Teddy Bridgewater obviously had that horrible injury. But the Broncos ran only 40 plays. And, you know, with the way the game was flowing, like you would expect them to try and feed Javonte Williams more with the inefficiency that Melvin Gordon was showing. So it doesn't make a lot of sense that they only gave him 7 carries. He was on the field, you know, 52% of the snaps, which is about how his average, you know, the way they've been utilizing him, Melvin Gordon, the 55%. So I think I would prefer to start Javonte if you have him. You know, he's put up double digits in, I don't know, 5 straight weeks. I think you can comfortably start him in this matchup. The Chargers defense, like I said, not great against the run. Rex Burkhead exploited them. The entire Texans offense exploited them. So I think the Broncos, you know, passing options aren't great. You know, Judy Sutton and Tim Patrick aren't necessarily startable, but I think Javonte Williams is.
Yeah, I think that's right, because even though, you know, Williams did have, I think it was like literally a goal line rushing touchdown right at the end of the first half. If he doesn't have that, we're having a different conversation. But even though I think he's had a great end to his rookie season, you feel comfortable starting him here. But I stay away from Melvin Gordon. That was a horrible performance. Maybe I'm a little bitter because of what it did to my team. But overall, I would not do that. So moving on in our running back committee segment, the Green Bay Packers, who we talk about on a very often basis, have had another interesting week. So Aaron Jones, 13 points. It was a solid performance for him. But A.J. Dillon has just continued to not really show any signs that you really have any reason to start him. Now, they play Minnesota in week 17, so that's a fine matchup. But I don't think you can start Dillon. And I think Jones, again, probably sits somewhere in, you know, he's a solid starting option, probably a low-end RB1, RB2, 13 points. But again, neither of them had great weeks this week in a what was an okay 24-22 win for them over the Browns.
This game went, I think, exactly as we said it was going to when it comes to fantasy performances. Aaron Jones, you know, you've heard me say this a lot, but, you know, you wanted to temper your expectations for Aaron Jones. And, you know, 13.7 points is exactly what you thought he was going to get, right, with A.J. Dillon in there taking, 9 carries for 41 yards and getting 3 catches as well. He still has yet to drop a target. From Aaron Rodgers, which is a cool stat, 3 catches on 3 targets. Yet to drop a target in the past like 2 months. He had 1 catch on 2 targets one time this season. So, you know, with Aaron Jones, his projections for the next 2 weeks are above 17 points. I think that should be dialed down to around 14. Just like I said, temper your expectations with a two-headed monster. But if Jones, you know, finds the end zone in this game, he puts up a 20-point game, right? So he had 5 catches, and the PPR floor is there for Jones. So, like you said, you're not starting Dillon.
Well, here's the Dillon thing, though, which is why this whole thing is so weird. Because since week 12, he's averaged 8.7 points per game, 39th amongst running backs, which is fine. And Aaron Jones has obviously been way better in that time period, putting up double digits in all those games. But they have almost the same amount of rush attempts in that time span where Dillon has been averaging about half of Jones's production. And Dillon has 11 red zone scrimmage plays in that time period. Aaron Jones only has 4 and goal-to-go plays. So that's, you know, when they're inside the 10-yard line, 5 for Dillon and 3 for Jones in that time span. So I do wonder that it feels like the scrimmage plays have been really similar, even though the production has been different over that time period. So I do wonder how that kind of evens out. But even though I think that you may say there's a little bit of regression back to the mean in terms of the production for A.J. Dillon based on the volume he's getting, it's certainly nowhere near that kind of week like 9-10 range, where we were looking at Dylan and saying, like, oh, this is a guy, and they're, it's not a dead even split anymore. But my point is, I think the split is closer than the end line fantasy production indicates.
The way that these two backs have worked together is kind of like a, not necessarily the same dynamic as Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, but the same kind of, it's great for the Packers offense, but not necessarily great for fantasy between Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. And I think we might get into to Elliott and Pollard later, but you know, for this offense, I think it's clear that Aaron Jones is an RB2 now. He's not an RB1. And that's because of the presence of AJ Dillon. And if AJ Dillon manages to score a touchdown, you can't really predict when that's going to happen. So you can't really put him in the lineup.
Yeah. So I think I agree. It does feel a little bit touchdown dependent in that end. So do you want to hit on the Cowboys or anyone else before we get to waivers?
I think we should start on waivers. It's time to help out some people win some championships.
Yeah, so it's the final week here. As you mentioned, you have any money left, go for it. If you're in a waiver league, if you're in a league that goes by order, priority,
yeah,
which is really lame.
First, change that next year.
Yeah, that's incredibly lame. Second,
look to see where your opponent's priority is. So, and then just hope that no one else in the league makes claims.
So this is true in both leagues with Fab Money and priority. You have to account for two things here. There's only two people left in the league. Someone can be the biggest jerk ever and just decide to take things in their own hands and just go claim someone. There's only one guy here that's really obviously a must-start guy that will likely be available on your waiver wire, and that is Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams is now playing with CEH. Now, Darrell Williams could be stuck on someone's bench still. Someone could be holding him because he was a next man up kind of guy all season long. He was actually useful for a few weeks when CEH was hurt earlier in the year, but with CEH out this week, all of a sudden, Darrell Williams is like a high-end guy. And we saw this earlier in the season when Darrell Williams was playing, in that it's actually potentially more valuable to have Darrell Williams without CEH than it was to have CEH when Darrell Williams was there as the backup, because there's not really anyone that obvious right behind Darrell Williams to take that Darrell Williams role exactly how Williams fills it, which is kind of that offshoot guy that kind of can steal some touchdowns in there. So Williams is a must-start guy, and he has to be at the top of any waiver priorities this week.
Yeah, just looking at his roster percentage, he is at 64% rostered. So I think, like you were saying, he's probably at the end of someone's bench and no one is dropping anyone. So you could be out of luck in a lot of leagues. I know in the majority of my leagues, he's not available. So, you know, if he is, you know, you want to put in as much money as possible. And if you are in a Fab Money league, look, see how much your opponent has. And if it's less than you, then you're golden, right?
What about Derek Gore, though?
Yeah, I was about to mention Derek Gore. He had 12 carries for 43 yards, 3 catches for 61 yards. And the way this game went, like, it's impossible to predict how the game against Cincinnati is going to go, because this was an absolute drubbing of the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was milking down the clock with Williams and Gore. Darrell Williams had, you know, 55 rushing yards, 30 receiving yards, Gore with 43 rushing yards and 61 receiving yards. So I think the Chiefs they blew out the Steelers, but I think Gore, we saw he's very efficient in his carries. I think he's a fine. I think you want to pick him up, obviously, just because he's a waiver. He has a prime matchup. Well, not necessarily prime, but against the Cincinnati Bengals is a good matchup, at least.
It's difficult and to exactly know, though, just because it's like there weren't many pass snaps, right? With that, once CH went out, there were only 6 pass snaps in the rest of the game once he went out. So it's really difficult to even say what's going on, just because it was like there weren't many snaps that even existed without CH.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would think that. Yeah, I would think that, you know, Williams is rostered 64%, Gore only 6%. So there's obviously a higher chance of finding Gore on your waiver wire. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, a consideration for a CH owner to, hopefully you would have Darrell Williams on your bench anyway. But Darrell Williams, Derek Gore are both solid waiver pickups this week.
I think so. Now, if you're getting a little bit more desperate, which, again, if you made the fantasy championship, you're probably not, like, that desperate. But someone that could be interesting is Dare Agumawale. I think I pronounced that right. It seems like he's going to get all the touches if you're into usage. He had 17 carries for Jacksonville and got literally all the work once James Robinson came out. Could he be someone that, again, if you're desperate or maybe you started someone you didn't like, any interest in him?
Yeah, so Robinson is already ruled out. That's a tough Achilles injury. You know, that's just a horrible situation for James Robinson. But for Ogunbowale, it's a matchup against the Patriots, so there is that to consider. A Bill Belichick defense that has been – they've looked pretty weak the past couple of weeks, especially, you know, Colts and Bills have been tough matchups. And there's no comparing Jonathan Taylor to Dario Ogunbowale. Like, you can't be doing that. But, you know, fantasy is driven on volume, right? Ogunbowale is going to get the volume here. He had 19 touches, 72 total yards, and a touchdown last week. So I think there is flex – you know, maybe flex consideration for Ogunbowale. It's a tough matchup, but also, you know, just playing defense against your opponent. If your opponent needs one of these flex players and you don't, you know, it might be kind of like a not so nice move, but that's fantasy football. Maybe pick them up, play some defense against your opponent. And also, I mean, there's Jordan Howard, Boston Scott with Miles Sanders exiting because of a hand injury. Those two, they've been in and on and off of
but like, who knows which one to play? That's right.
Yeah, I would think Boston Scott, but also Jordan Howard exited. He had a stinger, so he exited early. So Boston Scott got that touchdown. So I don't know. That's a backfield you might want to avoid. And then one of my bigger waiver pickups is going to be Trey Lance. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is Trey Lance.
Very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, Trey Lance he's an interesting one. Garoppolo is, I believe he's now doubtful to play. He has a hand injury. It might be a ligament tear in his hand. So for Trey Lance, I think he has the potential against the Texans to be, you know, he might be a league winner here. I think he might be. He's getting reps with the first team. And I think, you know, in his spot start, Trey Lance ran for 89 yards. And against Houston, I think Trey Lance he's going to get a lot of rushing production and he might win some people some championships.
Wow. So you're going with Trey Lance here. Any interest in Tua? I know he wasn't that interesting. He's kind of been very much middling over the last few weeks, but they are getting wins. Obviously, the 7-game win streak, and he has been efficient. But I feel like if you're going for upside, go with Trey Lance. But Tua could be, again, if you're desperate on the quarterback wire. But if you're desperate, you're probably not at this stage, which is why we don't need
to. I mean, I have Jalen Hurts as my starter, and I would say, you know, Jalen put up 16 points against the Giants. Now is coming in against WFT, who just got, you know, decimated by the Cowboys. I think there is a reasonable decision that could be made between Jalen and some waiver wire.
We're going to bench Jalen for Trey. That is going out on the lip.
You know, you got to do. I don't know if I'm going to yet. You know,
going for it. After Hurts has been like a top five quarterback all season, just bench him for Trey Lance with like two career starts.
Maybe, you know, we'll see what happens.
Very interesting. Okay, so some wide receivers here. The only one that really jumps out on the screen is Isaiah McKenzie, who had a great week with Buffalo, down a lot of weapons this week, of course. And I do wonder with McKenzie, after seeing such volume this week, we don't totally know the status of the Buffalo wide receiver corps. He's coming back. Of course, Diggs is someone, but McKenzie had 29 points this week. He had 11 receptions for 125 yards, so 12 targets for him, which was huge. But it felt like they really didn't have that many other people, given that, like, McKenzie got 12 targets, Diggs got 13 targets, and no one else really got that much. Emmanuel Sanders has kind of been on the outs of late. And you mentioned it was a great win for the team with Gabriel Davis out, Cole Beasley out. Their status for this week, obviously, not exactly intact. Still battling COVID, and they both are unvaccinated, which makes it a lot more in flux going into next week. So if both of the – let's play hypotheticals here. If both of those players are out, do you start McKenzie?
I think so, yeah. Gabe Davis was that – he was who Josh Allen looked for in the red zone, and Isaiah McKenzie got the touchdown, had 12 targets. So if both these guys are out, I would say, you know, McKenzie's a good start. You know, he helped approximately zero people in sleeper leagues. He's 0% rostered and 0% started. So one other guy I do want to mention is KJ Osborne. He's 16% rostered. He had 5 of 7 targets for 68 yards and a score. And Adam Thielen re-aggravated his high ankle sprain late in the second quarter. And Thielen did return, but Osborne still finished second on the team with 7 targets. So if Thielen is unavailable, I think you can slot Osborne back in. He's only 16% roster. He's probably going to be on a lot of waiver wires. And so that's a really interesting one in a key matchup against Green Bay for Minnesota.
That's actually a good one. I kind of like the Osborne play just because it feels like that is going to be after we saw the first Green Bay Minnesota game a few weeks ago. That does feel like it's going to be a pretty high scoring game and you kind of want to get in on the action of it. And as we mentioned across the board, we don't really know a lot of the situations with COVID. It can change by the day. We're only on Tuesday here. We have no idea what's going to happen by Sunday, of course, but you just want to be prepared and you want to make a bunch of claims because, you know, you can think that just because, you know, you might have more money than the one other guy in the championship, or you might have higher priority than the one other guy in the championship, there could be someone else out there in the league that is looking to sabotage. So just make multiple claims this week. And because, you know, there's only one game left. So you gotta prepare with really everything. I mean, from the tight end position, there's really very little left. It looks like Pat Freiermuth could be coming back. Are any interest in him?
Yeah, for tight end, I think I might have talked about this last week, but Gerald Everett was a pickup of mine right before his Tuesday night game. And, you know, he came in 4 catches, 68 yards this week in a touchdown, which was a huge game. So he's not rostered in a lot of leagues, but I think you can, he's 27% rostered. I think you can pick him up in a matchup against the Detroit Lions. Pat Freiermuth, he wasn't available, I believe, in this game, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he wasn't. One to check if he was dropped in your league, because he was dropped in 13% of ESPN leagues this week. So after he wasn't able
to win. I don't want anything to do with the Steelers offense, you know, even if it's in a fine matchup against Cleveland.
I feel like you were a firing with guy. Like
that was, I that was absolutely awesome. I was a firing with
guy. All like,
I was 100% all in on the Muth, but at this point, I think Big Ben has killed the Muth, and that is where we are right now.
Okay, wow, just throw Big Ben under the bus, but it's all right. Just kick him while he's down. He's only a couple of games from retirement, so thankfully.
Yeah, good. Should retire quickly.
Yes,
I don't like him.
Hopefully, no big injury. No one does. Hopefully, no big injuries. Yeah. For him. All right. Any other storylines hit before we get out of here?
Yeah, I think one thing, just playing defense on your opponent is something that some people think is kind of like not a cool move, but you know, you got to do what you got to do to win. So I am not against doing that when it comes to, you know, picking out if your opponent needs quarterback, picking up the top quarterbacks. One other guy I do want to talk about though is Joshua Palmer with Mike Williams is already out for week 17. So Palmer should see an increase in playing time. He caught a touchdown in the loss against the Texans. And even if Jalen Guyton is clear to play, I think Josh Palmer is a good start. He had 5 catches, 43 yards, and a touchdown. And he scored at least 15 PPR points in at least 2 of his past 3 games. So it's not a great matchup against Denver. But, you know, with Williams not cleared, I think Joshua Palmer is a good start.
All right, so that could be interesting. So, again, I think there's probably more options from the wide receiver perspective than running backs in terms of who you're picking up on the waiver wire and who's startable from the waiver wire. Because at this point, you're not picking up someone on the waiver wire to send your bench. Obviously, there is no more games. But for everyone out there, good luck with setting your lineups for this week. And you're right, play defense. Get aggressive. If you've made it to this point in the season, good luck in the final games. So we wish everyone out there good luck with that. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Signing off for Colin Kapoor, I'm Eddie Wasserman, and we will see you next time on the Fantasy Finessers podcast.